Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having our walk through the Welsh Hills today. Wind's quite low, it's quite cold though. There's snow on the hills over the estuary, which looks pretty amazing and quite dramatic. So we've been talking this morning about what podcast to do. And of course, the big news is the shiny new Brexit deal. We weren't really sure what tack to take with that in a podcast yet. We're not ignoring it. It's just that we feel that when we've got some more information about it, that would be better to do a podcast then. Because at the moment, it's still only just been released, I think, today. So, well, we know it's crap. That's what we know. That's what we know so far. But how bad? We're not really sure. So we'll leave that one till another day. So I said, well, why don't we do the next chapter of the Lao Tzu series? And I said, jokingly, I bet you anything, when we look at what the next chapter is, it's going to be really relevant to the apocalypse, which is happening now. And amazingly, yes, it was. In fact, it even contains the word apocalypse and describes the awful greed of our leaders and how they've just led us straight into hell, basically. So anyway, let's have a read through it and then have a chat about it. So what I want to be on, so this is our episode 33, but the chapter 46 in the book that we're referencing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the joys of serendipity synchronicity.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to work for us, didn't it? But there you go. We don't want to get too carried away. All right, I shall read it now.
Okie doke.
Chapter 46. When the doe runs the world, the horses work the farms. Without doe, the horses are led into war along the borders. You see, if people want more and more, it can only lead to disaster. Greed is the seed of apocalypse. It is the rocket fuel of selfishness. Me, me, me. If people could only be glad with all they have, if they only knew it, they'd be happy.
But no, we've got to have Brexit instead. And also, we've got to hate the Europeans, because this is very important. Yeah, everyone from Europe is bad now. Yeah. Especially the people who catch fish. Very important to the Tory plans that we're just hate-filled, brainless morons.
Yeah, well, it's pretty true that, you know, that if you're going to dominate a population with propaganda and ideology, you pretty well of necessity need another, you know, the other big O, capital O, the other. You need somebody to otherise and blame and vilify and regard as inferior and so on. And you can have an internal other. You got a
we're going to have some of that as well.
You've got like
plenty of others to go around.
If it's a nice,
in Tory Britain.
And look like a nice minority for you to pick on. That's helpful. And so, I mean, what you're saying kind of does figure with this, you know. Yeah, but there's this idea, when the doe runs the world, the horses work the farms. Without doe, the horses are led into war along the borders.
Along the borders? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The wonderful, wonderful control our borders.
Well, as we keep saying, Lao Tzu's a peacenik. He likes to push, to my mind, the very important realisation that peace is amongst the greatest goods for a society. Nobody in their right mind wants to live in a society that isn't peaceful, both internally and externally. War is a scourge. It brings famine. And it promotes hatred. And, of course, lots of people get killed and hurt and have their lives destroyed. War is basically a waste of life. But, of course, the condition for war is borders itself. No borders, no reason for war.
Which was the whole reason the EU was set up.
Yeah. Well, the EU was set up initially. The initial impetus came from the Americans at the end of World War II. They'd been dragged into two world wars which had started in Europe and were based on ancient rivalries, particularly between the Germans, or the German-speaking parts of Europe and France, the French parts of Europe. And they kind of thought, well, enough is enough. Why should we keep coming over here and trying to sort this out, which is their perception of it. Even though, of course, there were capitalist interests at play as well. Mm-hmm. And the European Union started off as a coal and steel alliance treaty for removing tariffs and so forth on coal and steel. So it started off quite modestly, but the geopolitics that the Americans were pushing were to kind of try and stabilise Europe. Plus, of course, also to produce a kind of unity that could prevent further advance westwards of the Russians. I mean, it's the geopolitics. But for Lao Tzu, obviously, 2,500 years ago, he didn't know any of this, but he was aware of borders. He was writing at the time of the Warring States, and as we know, he was sick at heart because of the war and the loss of life and all the kind of ideological crap that surrounds war, the stirring up of hatred against others. And people are a bit different from ourselves. And this is how he puts it, when the cow runs the world, the horses work the farms. So, there is this vision
peace
of...
peace and stability.
Of peace and a degree of stability and a degree of... I call it security, I think people want security. I know, obviously, generalising like that about people is a bit dodgy. But by and large, populations are less interested in everybody being massively rich and more interested in security, which means modest prosperity. There's nothing against prosperity in any of this. But there's, at the same time, the point is made, there's no point having more than you need. There's no point having more money and more shares and more in the bank that you couldn't spend or use up or dispose of in 100 lifetimes, let alone one lifetime. There's no point in that. Unless you just want the power that goes with being able to dispose of that money. Wealth is power. And power is war. And he's alert to all that. And this is why he shills a lot of the time for modest desire. He's not against desire, I don't think. I don't think he's against prosperity. Because living in a world in which it's ticking over and the horses work the farms, and people have festivals and there's enough to eat. And then now there's going to be enough to eat because they're not diverting all their resources to border patrols or fences or walls or to stupid wars. So he's a peacenik of the Iced Order, I think, and I think that there is the rationale very poetically expressed. But then, of course, he does talk about, overweening desire. You see, if people want more and more, it can only lead to disaster. Well, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, the environmental crisis is through consumerism. Is a big part of it. I'm not going to lay all of it at the door of one causal factor, but the hyper-capitalism that we have is based on hyper-consumerism, which in turn is fueled by and promoted by a huge advertising industry, which is actually controlled by three companies in the world. Most of the advertising and public relations is owned by three asset management funds, three companies, which in turn, the shares of which are owned by just a very few asset management companies, huge ones, trillion-dollar funds. So there's immense power attached to the project of making people want more and more and more. The latest iPhone. Well, by all means, have an iPhone, but, wouldn't it be good if they lasted 10 years instead of 2 years? And that you weren't so wound up you'd got to have the absolute latest one because the camera was an extra 5 megapixels or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there is an industry, Magsus, like that, We don't have to be like that. I would say, look, naturally inverted commas, we're not like that. Or when we're with the Tao, our satisfaction in life comes from the peaceful living of it and experiencing of it with a great amplitude and alertness to the beauty of things and you know, the wondrous nature of human relationships. You know, between parents and children, between siblings, between friends, between comrades in the community. All these wonders satisfy us if we are secure. If we're not secure, we grasp for more and more to try and make ourselves secure. It's what we do. And this is all there in just like a couple of sentences. And then he goes on, he really kind of like hammers the nail in, you know, right the way into the head. You know, greed is the seed of apocalypse.
Yep.
It is the rocket fuel of selfishness, me, 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 me. And of course, you know, do you remember Gordon Gekko? Greed is good. It was like, I think it was Michael Douglas played this character, Gordon Gekko, who was this rapacious finance capitalist. And he gives motivational speeches to the guys that work on Wall Street. And his big motto is, greed is good. And in a sense, that was the motto of the Reagan-Thatcher era. It's the motto of neoliberalism. It says that we pursue our self-interest. We don't pursue community interest. And that magically, if we pursue self-interest, magically everything will work in society. But of course, the actual result of that, and we have a 40-year-old culture of that, the actual result of that is that wealth gets concentrated into fewer and fewer hands, and hence power gets concentrated into fewer and fewer hands, at the same time that the hyper-consumption ends up with the earth being raped for resources and used as a dumping ground for the byproducts of all this hyperactivity, with the resultant now really catastrophic and apocalyptic environmental crisis, which isn't just the atmosphere, it isn't just CO2 and global warming, people think, it's also soil, it's also the oceans, all of which we depend on. No soil, no farms.
No bees,
all the rest of it. You know, so the seeds of apocalypse are in the greed, because the greed is producing inordinate consumption. But this isn't, you know, people kind of think that this, oh, well, you know, we want to live, we want to have things. Why shouldn't we have things? You know, we work, let us have things. And I don't think this is against prosperity. Even though it's the real prosperity of kind of security, which means, you know, if you get sick, you know you'll be cared for. You know that your children can get an education and find a place in the world and make a contribution. You know that your community is not going to break out into war and civil war and riots on the streets. That, you know, that kind of security of not having to worry. And I'm sure that is a greater concern. If you really question people, that is a greater concern than just trying to become a millionaire or a billionaire. There's an argument put out by the right which says that socialists or people who object to the gross inequalities of wealth and power are really practicing the politics of envy. That isn't true. It's not envy. I don't envy the Koch brothers. I'd rather be in hell than be in one of their fucking psyches.
Yeah.
You know, it's not envy. It's the desire for security, which is, you know, it needn't be overplayed. There are certain aspects of life which are, life is intrinsically insecure. But you don't make it any worse, you know. You do put things in place as a society through collective effort. There's a say so people can be looked after if they get sick. And they don't have to fear that. You know, and that is the way to the good life, is to provide that security in the face of life's insecurity, accepting that as well. And that is the way to the good life. Not everybody trying to trample all over each other to become billionaires, to get so much money that you can't fucking spend it anyway. Greed is the source of apocalypse. But we aren't necessarily greedy. It's just not, this isn't human nature, particularly. We have a trillion-dollar industry, a many multi-trillion-dollar industry globally. administered by very few people and therefore some very powerful people, the sole purpose of which is to inflame our greed. And getting an understanding of the Tao helps you to drop that and realise that it's empty and it's poisonous, and that there is deep satisfaction to be had in some very sort of basic pleasures and ways of living a life. He goes on right at the end here. If people could only be glad with all they have, if only they knew it, they'd be happy. Now, again, you might be tempted to read this as asking you to be poor and suck it up. It's your lot. Rich man in his castle, poor man at his gate. It's not that. Instead, it's pointing out that we don't realise all that we have. We don't realise the deep satisfaction that we get from life when we're not driven by this artificially stimulated greed. It's actually really quite, it's a way of being in pain.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you get like Keep Up With the Joneses style of stuff, you know, and the status
anxiety which surrounds that, all that they consciousness stuff.
It's absolutely piss poor. And you know, but if you realise, you know, when the Tao runs the world, the horses work the farms, you know. You realise that there's just immense satisfaction and nourishment in the walk in the hills, you know.
And then, just in your local park.
Or? Yeah, and like whatever, you know, and then and feeling the sun on your skin, you know, and the pleasure of companionship and friendship. And the joy and the exuberance of festival, all of which is kind of like cheap.
Yeah.
And also, you know, a way of running things that is actually very scientific, more scientific than our so-called scientific agriculture, scientific resource extraction, scientific manufacturing, scientific social. Actually, it's more scientific to realise that it's intelligent to use the actual structure of things and the actual flow of things, the actual dynamics of the supporting system, which we loosely call nature. You have to be very careful talking about nature, but it's basically, you know, the fundamental supporting system of society and of life, of human life, because at the end of the day, we're biological animals as well as everything else, you know. And this is what he's suggesting. He's not suggesting be poor and fucking suck it up. He's not saying that. This idea of the horses working the farm, this is a vision of joy, you know. Even though I have to say, you know, you can be tempted to romanticise around this, but that would be based on a failure to understand the way he's attempting a kind of poetic distillation. You know, to get into a very few words, to get it into, what is it there, like 50 words, 100 words? It's big print, it doesn't even cover a side of A4, you know. This is like a poetic distillation that he's attempting, so that you can be stimulated into the kind of meditation that helps you to apprehend the Tao, the flow of things, the fundamental creativity of the universe. Be a part of it, realise it's inside you and it's outside you, that you are a part of it, and to enjoy the deep satisfaction and nurture that it provides you with, as an alternative to a way of life based solely on greed and the pain of greed, which of course in its turn makes you the dupe and the slave of the people who are manipulating human desire for their own ends and to accrue wealth and power to themselves, with, just to get this into a really long sentence, with the effect that war is an inevitability within this kind of setup,
and also how this is relevant to our situation here. I think the reason why the infection rate, the COVID infection rate, is so massive in Britain now, is, well, because of the Tories' greed at the beginning, because They thought, oh, let's just take it on the chin. Who cares if a few old people die? Because they're not like really that important to our precious economy.
Yeah.
We must keep the economy going and people can just sort of die on the fringes and we won't really bother like helping them or doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they instead of thinking, oh, you know, the New Zealand method where we're, let's not let people die and actually really do something very firm about this right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And they just left it and left it and left it.
Yeah.
Because they, not only they don't care, but it, you know, it's just like, I mean, this is like, yeah, we have the apocalypse now because of the rocket fuel of selfishness. Me, me, me. Yeah. I mean, the Tories, for them, selfishness is virtue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's thought to be a driving force. You know, this is, you know, Hayek and Buchanan and Milton Friedman, they have this idea that, you know, the unit of the economy is the individual. And the driving force is the individual's rational self-interest. And that is, therefore, what governments should do is the minimal regulation and law that they do put in place should be to enable the rational self-interest of individual consumers in the market to have free rein. You know, and anything that says the unit is the community, the unit is relationship, the unit is solidarity of analysis, of economic analysis, is an evil communist.
Yeah.
You know, so they turn people who contradict them into the other, which is a time-honoured methodology in political life, you know. So, I mean, yeah, Lao Tzu, yeah, I mean, he was in a similar situation, I think, 2,500 years ago with the warring states.
Yeah.
And with the fragmentation of China from a unified empire into a host of little kind of fiefdoms ruled over by warlords in a constant state of war, you know, which is something that is a tendency that we're kind of living through at the moment, or at least through the beginnings of at the moment. You know, you can see all these fragmentary forces going on. Of course, Brexit, you know, just peeling off from a union set up to ensure peace in Europe. This is not to say that its original purpose didn't get kind of pushed one way and the other, and it's been through many transmogrifications over the 70 years since World War II.
Anyway, so I hope everyone found that interesting. That was it definitely tickled me just how incredibly appropriate this one was to today. And we will speak to you again soon.
Make knowledge great again.